The word of God is alive and dwelling among us this morning, so let's stand as we hear our gospel reading. And it comes from the very end of Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, and welcome not just to the service, but for braving the storms out there that have been lashing away. John was just thinking about some of the songs you could have been singing this morning. What was the first one you said?
Rain.
Oh, let Jesus reign. That's a brilliant one, isn't it?
River wash over me.
So good things there, but we're here, and that's the important thing. And we're here to hear about Jesus. At least I hope you're here to hear about Jesus. And also part of our service is to show him, not just through our words, but through our heart, how much we think about him. And I hope there's love in there, because that's a binding thing that keeps us together forever in that relationship. And our reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel, it's this great commission, isn't it? And as Joanne says, this is the last readings of Matthew. Anyway, it's the last time Jesus will speak to his disciples in human form. And just before this, the women had arrived at Jesus' tomb. And Jesus wasn't there. And the angel of the tomb says, "Look, he's risen, and he's gone on ahead to Galilee, and you need to go there as well." And so they're heading back, and then Jesus comes to them just to reaffirm the message that they need to have the faith and the calmness. Keep calm, I'm risen. And go to the guys and tell them that I am indeed risen, and I need you to go to Galilee. And so hearing this good news, they head off to Galilee on the mountain. Didn't tell you which mountain it is, but they knew which place to go to. They knew exactly the spot that Jesus was talking about. And when they get there, it says in verse 16, Jesus, he was already there. And what's the first thing that they do in verse 17? It tells us that they worshipped Jesus. It didn't say how they worshipped him, they just worshipped him. And then some astonishing words follow the act of worship, which says some doubted. There's quite a strange mixture of expressions in seeing Jesus. And we can only really understand it when we participate in the story and the life of the disciples. And we will never fully get there, because you and I don't know what it's like to walk literally with Jesus in human form. But they did. And they went through 3 years of a sort of roller coaster ride with him, having that first step of faith, hearing Jesus speak with such authority about his Father in heaven, seeing Jesus perform miracles, such as healing that crippled hand, or healing leprosy, giving sight to the blind, raising his friend from the dead. How astonishing would it have been to have seen that happen, literally before your very eyes. And all the other miracles Jesus did and taught, and the way he lived his life, exemplary in that gospel message of righteousness and love with God, his Father in heaven. And the many other things that the Bible doesn't tell us. The times when Jesus cried with his brothers, the times he laughed with them, the times that they fooled around, the times that Jesus spoke time and time again with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans and the palace guards and the officials and all these things, and the hundreds and the thousands and the one person that meant so much to Jesus. And then to see Jesus then being dragged through that week of passion and being treated the way he did, yet having that power to remove himself from it and inflict injury to those who were causing him injury, was something that Jesus abstained from to push on through, such as his faithfulness in God. And he never doubted his Father's love for him once. He never doubted his purpose in that world. He was hesitant what he was going to go through, but he never lost his faith and his purpose in the world. His hesitancy coming through at the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that pain and suffering, but knowing for certain that's what he was going to do. And the last time his disciples saw Jesus was his battered and bloodied and dead body on the cross. That's the last impression some of them saw of Jesus. And then to have the moment afterwards and trying to comprehend what has just gone on. And did Jesus really die on the cross after all he had taught his disciples? And if he had died on the cross and that was it, had they actually followed and believed and given their lives over to come and follow somebody actually who was not the Messiah, a false Christ? And even when the women came back from the tomb excited, and even when other Gospels account Peter and John running and seeing for themselves that the body was not there, did they truly believe that Jesus had risen? Hence, when they see Jesus stood before them, they worshipped him and had doubt at the same time. But it's that word that can sometimes cause a bit of mistranslation in that reading. It's not like they didn't believe that this was truly Jesus. They were just uncertain about how they should respond and react to see Jesus in this form, no longer battered and bloodied and dead, but alive. And in that fresh appearance in which they knew him before he went through his trials. So they didn't not doubt Jesus. They were just uncertain. They were just hesitant about who he was. They're just hesitant about what happens now. And Jesus knows their hearts. He knows their feelings. Because straight after that, he aligns his presence before them, knowing their feelings. And it says then that he came to them. And before that, they'd always been following Jesus. The very words Jesus spoke to his people at Galilee was, "Come, follow me." And it's remarkable and it's very sentimental that here in the place of Galilee was the very first place that Jesus started off his ministry with his disciples, calling them to come to him. And at the end, in Galilee, he goes to them. And almost in a way, he says, "Look, it's definitely me. Everything I told you is true." And he needs to have that full belief, the uncertainty. And he says to his disciples, "What I'm going to tell you now is nothing new that I haven't told you before, and something you need to take with you. It's that I still speak in the authority of God in heaven and on earth." It's the same authority Jesus spoke before in the temple courts. And the same authority that he gives to his disciples now to take with them as they now speak in the authority of Jesus Christ. And then he says, "Go." And it's a heartbreaking situation, this, because Jesus says, "Go," the disciples have to go. At the same time, Jesus is going to go. But he promises to them that when you go and do everything I've commanded you to do, to go and baptize people in my name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that you ever did see me do and teach you, that I promise you I will be with you to the very end. It's Christ's great consummation, his perfect completion to his ministry in the world. And responsibility is now placed upon their shoulders to go and baptize people. But they go with that uncertainty, because that's what being a disciple is all about, that hesitation. And today that promise holds firm to each one of us, doesn't it? That great commission to go and make disciples and to teach people. And that same promise that Jesus will always be with us. But if we turned up at Nathan's grandma house in the world and knocked on the door and said, Jesus loves you, would there be hesitance in our hearts, a heartbeat fluttering faster because we're uncertain about what it is we believe in? But having uncertainties, having hesitancies, having this kind of doubt is all right. That's all part of discipleship. That's why Matthew writes about it. Matthew's just trying to convince us that everything was rosy and that Jesus had risen and was going to heaven. Why would you write those words in there? Some had doubt. Because Matthew is honest. They've always been honest about what they write. There's that degree of integrity in which Matthew says some had doubt. Because he knows that you can have all the faith in the world in Jesus Christ, but it will come with uncertainties. And today you may have doubts in your own heart. Are uncertain about who God is. Is he really real? Where is he in the suffering? Where is he when I really, really need him? And they're uncertainties. It's not that you don't believe in Jesus and you want to worship him, but the uncertainties come of how you worship him when all these unanswered questions are going on. But the great thing about God, he doesn't expect us to believe in him without giving evidence of who he is. Hence, he's raised up this nomadic people to come and share his story, his relationship with him, so he might reveal him to the world. Hence, he came into the world. He shows everything that he was. Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God. I in the Father in me. And the evidence is all around us in life, in nature, in our prayers, our feelings and emotions, our spiritualness that connects us with God. But Shakespeare wrote a brilliant quote, which is really sort of apt for our reading this morning. It says, our doubts are traitors, and they make us lose the good things that we might win, or we might often win, by fearing attempt. I'll say that again. Our doubts are traitors. They make us lose the good things we might often win by fearing attempt. And if you think about that in the context of Judas, because when they arrived on this mount, there was only 11 of them, because Judas had doubted or was uncertain about why Jesus had come into the world. And so his doubts betrayed him, and they betrayed Jesus. And so through that betrayal, he lost all the good things he could have won through Jesus Christ. And he never attempted to understand Jesus. Even when Jesus spoke to the disciples why he came for the world. He didn't come to free the Jewish people in that moment of oppression. He came to free the world for eternity. So if you've got doubts, uncertainties, hesitations about who Jesus is in your life, first of all, it's good and it's healthy to have that uncertainties. That's what makes us search further and dig deeper. The worst thing you can do with those things is let them breed and infest and plague your life because you haven't searched them out. The good thing is that when you do search them out, you share that then with each other. Otherwise, none of us will really truly grow beyond our doubts. And that's why the idea of coming together and learning God's word is important. It's not just about learning our Bible, learning about God. It's about learning about life. And having the permission to have those uncertainties. And say, I'm struggling with this. Where is God? And trying to do that on your own is really, really difficult. And Jesus knows that. That's why he came to them. And he will come to us when we ask those same questions. There's a brilliant story about this bloke who lived in a really dry and barren land. And it's the place where it hardly ever rains, not like Paxington. There's hardly any rain at all in this land. It's so arid and dry. But he worked and toiled there And he loved God. He had a faithfulness, a simple faithfulness every day that kept him in that relationship with him. And God saw his love for him. He felt it. He was in tune with him. He had that relationship with him. But not everybody else. And he was heartbroken. He says to this person, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build a boat. And this person thought, what? Build a boat in the middle of nowhere? And God said, yes, build a boat. Because I'm going to come and flood this place. He didn't say like Baxter, but you can imagine it would be like that. Endless rain pouring out, endless waters. And this person could have said, that is absolutely ridiculous. You know, I have major concerns about that. I doubt that's going to happen. I'm hesitant to obey the Lord because I don't think that's going to work. But he didn't. He had the faith to push on through. And he built his boat. But of all the good things that God had said, and we know, don't we, that it rained endlessly and that world was wiped out. Now, if that person had doubted, he would have lost his life. But he didn't doubt. He worked through it and found faith in God and did what he was asked to do, and he was saved. And that's the difference between overcoming your uncertainties, your hesitancies, your doubts, and not. If you keep on doubting, you remain doubtful. But if you overcome your doubts, you will find a deeper and stronger faith. As a world, as human beings, we have that nature in us to keep on digging further. Most of us don't think there's life beyond our planet. We don't think there's life up there in the universe. But we pursue it. We spend billions on it trying to pursue there. And we dig deeper on the planet of Mars to try to find these bits of organisms to prove that there was life. But it's all based on theory. The thing about life in this world and faith in Jesus Christ is that it's based on facts. And they're the facts that God leaves us in Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter to the Romans, in chapter 11, 33, Paul understands this and says, we will never fully comprehend the greatness of God. And so there will remain uncertainties. In Peter's letter, a second one, in 3:16, he says that there are things that we don't understand in Scripture, but we can't remain ignorant about it. If we don't understand, we need to search those things out. And even in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 9, I think it's verse 24, this is a person who wants to come and know the faith of Jesus. And Jesus says, why do you doubt me? And he says, I do want to believe, but help me overcome my unbeliefs. And if you can't overcome our doubt, then can we share that gospel message with the world? And that's our great commission. We shouldn't doubt that we have a role and a part to play in bringing that good news through baptism and the teachings of Jesus into the world. And we have to think about the dark realities of some island somewhere or some distant country that hasn't received the gospel message yet. There are people in Baxedon who don't know the good news and are not saved. And maybe they have their own doubts. That doesn't mean that there isn't a reaching out and they're digging around. We just have to equip them and give them the tools to do it. But we have to do that in total and confident faith. And part of that total confident faith is to say sometimes, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about God. I'm not sure about what he's doing in the world sometimes. All I know is that he is real. That's a great place to start from. So if you've got uncertainties, don't let them fester in your heart. Work on them. Or work on through them together. And let's see what great strides we can make. So when we leave this place today, if we doubt sometimes ourselves, if we doubt sometimes where the world is going to, we can be quite certain that God is with us. Amen.